RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And Penguin Random House, the publishers of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations and The Complete Idiot's Guide to RVing, both available at your favorite booksellers today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about one of the latest tiny trailers to explode onto the RV scene, the Hummingbird by Jayco. Since it became available just months ago, the Hummingbird has been flying off of dealer lots. We sat down with the product designer, John Fisher, and talked about why this small RV is getting such a big response.
Plus, we know that this is the start of RV show season, and many of our listeners will be shopping for their very first RVs. We spent hours at the Hershey Show, touring RVs with a couple who was new to RVing and looking for a small trailer to enjoy during their empty nest years. We are going to talk about the experience and how it might help you on your journey to RV ownership.
You might think that RVs keep getting bigger and heavier, but we know that the new tiny trailers are catching the eye of a lot of shoppers. You are listening to episode 108. Say hello to the Jayco Hummingbird.
Before we head into our RVFTA news roundup, it is time for a sponsored message from our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info.
All right, we're celebrating our second year anniversary as a podcast in two different ways. The first way is that we're having a big giveaway, and we're giving away a great prize package, right? So, Stephanie, can you give our listeners the details again? Because the contest is still live for a few more days as of this recording.
Absolutely. So we wanted to give everybody who listens to our podcast over the course of a week the opportunity to participate. So we're going to run this through Monday of this episode. But there's posts up on both Instagram and Facebook that you can enter in, and we are giving away 3 nights of camping, all right, campground camping at a Jellystone campground, or 2 nights of a vacation rental.
Right. So 3 nights of an RV site or a tent site, or you can opt for the 2 sites of like a, something like a cabin.
Right. And that has a $400 max value.
That's pretty big.
Yes. And a set of 4 of the new Camp Casual mugs, which are adorbs.
And you can use them for hot cocoa around the campfire during your fall camping trip to a great Yogi Bear campground. And you could use this in October for one of the great Halloween weekends. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
We'll try and get it to you as soon as we can.
Oh, that would be fun. All right. So that is a great giveaway. You can go to Instagram or Facebook and look for the announcement post. There's 2 on both Instagram and Facebook that you can enter. And I have to say, I can't wait to announce the winner next week and talk about some of the comments that we received on this giveaway. We asked people to tell us what their favorite episode was. I am so glad we did this giveaway just because the comments and the responses have just been amazing.
Very encouraging. You know, it just really makes us feel like there's people out there listening. And it also gives us an idea of what you're liking, you know, what shows are meaningful to you. I mean, to me, it's almost like a little survey.
And it's so diverse. That's what's so interesting, too, right? Like, and we do all these different types of shows. Some are like the more travel shows. Some are the more product oriented shows. Some are the RV shows. And there's a whole wide range of favorites out there for those.
And it's inspiring me for some future programming. So, I mean, just for an example, a bunch of people said, we really like that Camp Coffee 101 episode. And that's one that just come, you know, there's some that just come up over and over again. And it makes me want to go do our Camp Coffee 102 and do another great interview and another great episode all about coffee, because everyone loves their coffee at the campground.
Yeah, and not to hijack this news roundup with a topic that we weren't expecting to discuss, but one of my favorite things that I've been seeing is that everybody's talking about their first episode that they ever listened to. And it's all over the map, right? So somebody's like, oh, my first episode was
89.
Yeah, 89 or number 42 or number 6, you know? So it's so weird because I always forget when we're recording these episodes that there's somebody maybe listening to this episode that has never listened before. Like, in a way, we just kind of carry on as if everybody, like,
There are definitely a bunch of somebodies where this is their first episode.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Like, they're listening in right now. They're like, who are these wackos? I don't know.
All right, now the second big way in which we are celebrating our second anniversary, and it's the biggest initiative we've ever put together, and we need your help, is that we are trying to raise $10,000 for a nonprofit organization called Tents for Troops. Tents for Troops wants to have RVs located on campgrounds so that active duty military and their families can come and spend a free weekend or a free couple of nights in that RV on that really nice campground. So, and they've been having a hard time lifting this program off the ground. Their regular program is doing great. They actually provide free sites for troops who want to come camp in a tent, but now they want to step it up and have these RVs, and they haven't been able to purchase one yet. So we want, as a community, to be able to come together and raise $10,000 minimum to help them buy their first RV. And in the first week, we've raised over $2,000. We're so appreciative to every single one of you who has donated. And we don't care what dollar amount you're donating. We appreciate every single donation the same.
Yeah, we were completely overwhelmed by the generosity of our listeners who just jumped right in, especially the ones it was like right away. People went to GoFundMe/RVFTA, and they just, it was within hours, within minutes, actually, of the release of the podcast, we had our first donation. And then within hours, they just kept rolling in that whole first day. And that was really encouraging to us. However, this is what we have to say. Going forward, what we're going to ask is that more people contribute a smaller amount.
Like, so the incentives are still in place. We have not run out of the magnets. So at $50, we're going to send you an RVFTA bumper magnet. At $100, we're going to send you one t-shirt and a bumper magnet. But we need the $10 and $20 donations. And like I said, we appreciate them just the same. And in these types of fundraisers, it's often a lot of smaller donations that win the day. So please, if you're the person that can give $10 or $20, please do it. We need those donations badly.
So what I wanted to do right now is maybe reframe this for some people, because yes, the people who, you know, gave those $50 and $100 donations, we were blown away by the generosity. But here's the thing. I know that we have our charitable giving budget as a family. And, you know, when you're all over the place and people are reaching out to you for money, because we all know it happens a lot, there's always a cause. You know, a lot of times what we say is, you know, we really think about our giving, our charitable giving as a family, and we really try to, you know, put that money towards the causes that we believe in. And I think that that's a good way to do our charitable giving when it's in a bigger amount. But I want you to reframe it. If you're tapped out for your charitable giving, please think about this as like your bonus money, your pocket money for the week, okay? So you've given a lot to charity over the last year. Maybe, you know, you feel like, oh, we don't really have another $100 to give. I get that, and that's okay. But what I'm asking you to do right now is think about this. This is like Girl Scout cookies, right? You don't budget for Girl Scout cookies, but when the Girl Scouts are standing outside of the grocery store, you dig into your pocket and you come up with $5 or $10.
So pretend that Stephanie and I are the Girl Scouts and we have a bunch of boxes of Thin Mints in our hands.
Yeah, you know, and just when, you know, you dig for the $10 for Girl Scout cookies. It's not budgeted. It's not planned, but you know, you use your spare change for it. And that's what I'm asking you to do for this, because if our listeners use their spare change to make a small donation, we'd be able to buy this trailer tomorrow.
There's enough of you out there that if the $10 and $20 donations start rolling in, we could be done in a few days. All right. Now, also, I just want to emphasize also, this is an investment of your time. We understand that it just takes some of your time up to go and make the donation. So I think a lot of people heard this last week and said, oh, I'm going to do it, but just didn't find the time yet. So we also just kind of beg you to find the 10 minutes that it takes to go through and process the donation on the GoFundMe page.
Yeah, talk to Siri right now on your phone and say, Siri, remind me to make a GoFundMe donation at 10
Great
p.m.
idea.
At night.
If you're listening right now, put in a little reminder at a good time for you. It's also, you can donate anonymously or put your name on it. We don't care. It's up to you. It's just another option for you to also make that donation anonymously. So let's get this done.
And I have one more idea for you. Ask your kids if they want to donate their weekly allowance this week, okay? Because that's what I'm going to do with our kids. Our kids, they really like giving back. They understand. We talk to them about charity. They understand the concept, but oftentimes kids don't have the opportunity to participate in small amounts. So we are going to ask our kids this week if they want to donate their weekly allowance to purchase an RV for an active member, you know, of the military and their family to use at a campground. And I think that our boys are really going to identify with that cause and want to feel like they're a part of it.
Yeah. And we've narrowed it down to two possible campgrounds, and they are both nice quality campgrounds. It'd be great places for an active duty military family to come spend a couple relaxing nights in an RV and just kind of enjoy nature and enjoy each other.
All right. And the last thing for our news roundup that I wanted to mention was that we have a Go RVing article up on the Scenic Route, which is GoRVing.com's blog. And it's on booking the perfect campsite, which is something that we've talked about a lot. We really have put a lot of thought into it. And what we did was we actually compiled 10 questions that you should ask yourself before reserving your campsite, not your campground, but your campsite, right? Finding that perfect campsite for you so that you're not in a site that doesn't make you happy. All right. So if you want to check out that, those 10 questions that you can answer, that you can ask yourself, you can go over to the Scenic Route and look at that article.
And it's my favorite post we've done for Go RVing so far, because it's just very practical and useful. Even if you've been camping for a long time, I think you'll find some tips in there that'll help you land a better site.
All right. So we are going to be back in a minute to introduce our hummingbird, you know, featured interview with John Fisher by talking about a couple, John and Gail, who we did some RV shopping with at the Hershey RV show a couple of weeks ago.
And they were looking at a hummingbird. That
they
was one
did.
Of the ones
it's
on their
on
list.
Their
so
list.
We're tying these two segments together.
Stay tuned.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers in RV was founded on the belief that every customer deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. That's why they offer the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. All of their advertised prices include freight, prep, orientation, and detailing, so customers will never be surprised by last-minute upcharges and fees.
Campers Inn RV believes strongly in transparency, and they strive to make customers feel confident that they found the perfect RV for their budget and their dreams.
Since 1966, Campers Inn RV has become the nation's largest family-owned dealership with 15 locations across the East Coast. Come down and learn why Campers Inn RV has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for our featured topic, which we're really breaking down into two parts. So for the first part, we're going to talk about our experiences RV shopping with two very old friends of ours, John and Gail, who we've known since we were kids. And they're interested in their first RV. It's sort of an empty nest type of purchase. And I'd say we spent about 2 hours with them at the RV show. And we learned a lot by trying to teach them some things, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a good experience.
And then after that, we're going to come back and we're going to have a really great interview with John Fisher from Jayco, all about the Jayco Hummingbird, which was very much his baby at Jayco. And they tie together so nicely because John and Gail actually are interested in the Hummingbird. It made their list of the 5 or 6 RVs they're considering purchasing because they're in that kind of more tiny trailer category. So let's get started. Why not?
All right. Well, first, I want to thank our sponsor, Penguin Random House, the publishers of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations by Stephanie and Jeremy Puglisi, and The Complete Idiot's Guide to RVing.
Classics.
So, right.
Classics.
Classic pairing.
I'm thinking of assigning our book to my students.
Of course you are. So just heading into this segment, I wanted to mention something that we hadn't talked about much. We have some great introductory material at the beginning of our Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, and it has like those basic safety and convenience tips, tips on finding good campgrounds, tips on planning fantastic trips. Like, so we kind of like, you know, boiled down some, a lot of our know-how into those segments at the beginning of the book. And then the rest of the book is obviously great vacations.
And it's almost like the beginning is a bonus for the newbie RVer.
Yeah.
And then the 40 great RV vacations, good for anybody.
Right. They can dip into as they go. But the beginning does have a lot of those nice tips for beginning RVers. So you could check that out.
Rumor is they make a great gift.
Yeah. I heard it might be on the gift guide. Okay, so now moving on. So like Jeremy said, John and Gail, they are family friends for a long, long time. And they're also recent empty nesters.
They're also one of the first readers of our blog. I remember John reading our Lively Little Campers blog and commenting right when we got started, when it really just was a family and friend blog. So for years now, he's been reading our work and they've been reading our work. And I think it's built this slow, steady interest up in the RV purchase. And now they want to do it.
Right. So they have never, let's be clear, they've never RV'd before and they were never campers. Okay. They never went on camping vacations. Something that they mentioned as we were talking was that they did always have that kind of dream of the retirement lake house, right? Which is a common sort of, you
don't
know,
we all.
Yeah, right. So I think that, you know, over the last few years, as their children have grown up and, you know, gone on to college and moved away, and as their I think John retired, they've sort of been saying like, okay, what's next? And they always had that idea of the lake house, but then they also have sort of been introduced to this idea of an RV, and we're very interested in
it. Yeah, I think actually John is now sort of semi out of retirement too, from what I understand, because they want to have some adventure, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the lake house thing, a lot of people dream about the lake house, and you know what? It's very expensive, first of all, to buy that second home. I mean, compared to buying an RV. And I think some people also make the decision, despite the cost issue, that they want to see a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. They don't just want to go to the same place every weekend.
So John and Gail reached out to us with some of their initial questions, and we have been kind of chatting with them about this. And it turned out that the Hershey RV Show was a great place for them to sort of do their first round of shopping. So, you know, when they told us that they were interested in shopping in Hershey, we said, we're there. Let's shop together. Okay. We'd love to kind of join with you, because it's we're both benefiting here, because John and Gail get our expertise about RVs. But then the interesting thing is, it's very helpful for us to see them go through the process, because we know so many of you, our listeners, come to this show when you're actually researching an RV purchase.
Yeah, what was really nice too, and what I recommend, is they weren't going to buy an RV that day. That was not even on the table. This was that initial research. And an RV show is kind of the best possible place for that, because everything's there. Or if you just go to one dealer, you're going to see a limited, you know, some limited options by either by brand or just by whether they sell motorhomes or travel trailers. RV show's a great place for that initial research. And they dove in.
We didn't do that. And we know a lot of our listeners maybe didn't do that and ended up with the wrong RV for them at the beginning and flipped their RV pretty quickly. We had that experience, and now we're very, very encouraging to people who really do their research ahead of time. Okay, so what we want to start out by doing now is telling you what they were looking for. They sent us an initial email with their starting thoughts to help us get ready to help them shop, okay? So this is their situation and what they told us. They're looking for both a tow vehicle and a trailer, which is a great, great combination.
In a sense, it's ideal if you can do both of those purchases at the same time and you're not limited to whatever your current vehicle is. We know a lot of people aren't in that situation. But if it's time to upgrade the car and you want an RV, it might be nice to do both at the same time if you can afford to do so.
Right. So they had to pretty much set a budget for the whole package, you know, the tow vehicle and the RV. And what they wanted to do was kind of find a pairing that would go well together.
Yeah, and I was worried that initially they were going to have too small of a budget, and I was going to have to be like, oh, that's not realistic. But they had the right number, basically.
They had a
realistic budget
number
to do both, and that was a really good starting point. You know, you want to be realistic about how much these things are going to cost.
All right, now they are replacing an Altima that has over 190,000 miles, and you know, think about an Altima. They have not been driving around a big family car, so they're not looking to replace it with an F-150.
The pickup truck's not an option.
No.
It's just they do not want a pickup truck, and they don't want a huge SUV. So right off the bat, they know that. So that helped us kind of narrow things down at least one step.
Now, another thing that they do is they tend to buy used, right? And I've known, like I said, I've known John and Gail for a long time, and I know that they're very value conscious, and they do look for things with good value, which oftentimes is a used product, right? We all know that things lose their value very quickly after somebody has already owned them. So the thing is that can be a little bit different in the RV world, right? The price differential between new and used is not as big as some people expect it to be. So we definitely want it to.
If you're buying a used rig from a dealer, Stephanie and I just are always surprised at how high the prices are on dealers' lots for used rigs. If you want to go off into the world of Craigslist, we totally are aware you can get great deals. They don't really want to do that because even if they buy used, they probably want the warranty and the dealer relationship. So we right off the bat said, you know what, we might lean towards new on the rig and used on the tow vehicle.
Yeah, because the tow vehicle used, you can get a really great deal, and we all know that. Okay. Another thing that they said in their initial email to us was that they were thinking about a pop-up. Now, of course, that did not surprise us at all because we know, just like we did, most people that are thinking about their first RV think a pop-up would be a great choice because it's small and easy and light. But then John also added, Gail thinks she might want a bathroom.
And by a bathroom, he means a real bathroom, not, you know,
not a
European
potty.
Cassette toilet kind of situation.
Yeah.
So we immediately kind of pinpointed that as something we need to talk to them about. You know, if Gail wants a real bathroom, a pop-up camper might automatically be disqualified from their search.
Yeah. And I said, you know, if Gail thinks she wants a real bathroom and she settles on something else, like a cassette potty or a wet bath, if she settles on that just because, oh, the number's lower or it's more lightweight, you know, that might really hamper her enjoyment of the RV experience. Like, if going into it, you think you want a full bath, you better get a full bath. Don't not get a full bath and then say, I don't like RVing. No, it's just you wanted a whole bath.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we wouldn't compromise on.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of things like that where if you think it's going to be a problem, we would say, yeah, you're right.
And I come from personal experience on that. I know that even though I was fine not having a full bathroom in the pop-up and using the bathhouses, I know my life changed when we got the travel trailer and I was able to just use our full bathroom like I would at home. It really made a huge difference in my experience.
So we had so much fun meeting them at Hershey. It was really one of the highlights of our days at Hershey. It's really fun shopping with people, and Stephanie and I just always loved falling into that kind of educator role. It's just naturally what we do. So we showed them some pop-ups, some hybrids, teardrops like the Hummingbird. We showed them J-Flights, like full-on travel trailers, the Ciro Scotti, a full-on travel trailer, and Micro Minis from Winnebago, which are travel trailers, and the Mini Drop. Now, very quickly after looking at the pop-ups and seeing those cassette toilets, it was like, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was dispelled. And I'm not criticizing people who love their pop-up, but just for Gail and John, they scratched it off the list. And it's important when you're RV shopping to scratch stuff off the list because there's just so much out there.
Right. And who doesn't scratch the pop-up off their list? People with three kids who also want to take different kinds of trips, who need something small that they can store in their garage. You can go listen to our Ode to a Pop-Up Camper episode to hear all the reasons why a pop-up might be right for you. But we knew that from Gail and John's feedback, it was not really right for them, but we still wanted to show them the pop-up, and they were like, yeah, okay, let's move on. Now, the hybrid was an interesting experience.
This was very interesting because we showed them some hybrids, and they were like, ooh.
Just like everybody
is. Because it gave you that outdoorsy feeling with the beds, lots of space.
Huge, right?
Relatively light. Yeah. There's so many attractive things. And boy, oh boy, did I think they were moving in the direction of a hybrid. But Stephanie, then what happened that sort of made them scratch that off the list?
I don't know. What happened?
Oh, well, they met two of our podcast listeners, Daryl and Nancy, who had been hybrid owners and went on to the travel trailer. And Stephanie and I were not trying to push them towards or away from the hybrid.
We actually did not plan this meeting at all.
We didn't plan it at all. We just bumped into each other. And Daryl and Nancy started talking to them, and they're like, oh, when we had the hybrid, they like to camp in the fall, and the beds were too cold, and there were moisture issues. And they just went over some of the things that can be irritating about a hybrid that plenty of people don't mind at all, because either they're not camping in the cold or whatever. And Gail and John are just like, nope, don't want to deal with that. We want to camp in the fall and not have a bed that's cold.
Yeah. And that is such an emphasis right there on how important it is to talk to people with similar, you know, experiences. And the nice thing about the fact that we ran into Nancy and Daryl was they're recent empty nesters too. You know, I mean, there's so many similarities there, and they had never owned an RV before. That was their first RV purchase. They didn't grow up RVing and camping with their kids. So it was really like, you know, a happy meeting at that point.
And Daryl and Nancy are thrilled with their travel trailer, and it does feel to them like a major upgrade over the hybrid. And one thing to note is that the prices aren't that much different. In my personal experience looking at hybrids and then comparable travel trailers, you're only jumping up a couple $1,000s, in my opinion.
So I did not know by the end of the day that they had really scratched the hybrid off their list, because they loved the Jayco 23B. When they were in that hybrid, they were like, this is amazing.
I still love that one.
We do love that one, because it has this amazing pantry space and storage, and just, it's a great trailer. If you're looking for a hybrid, it's a fantastic hybrid. But we got their spreadsheet that we'll talk about a little later, and there was no hybrids. And John and Gail are very thoughtful people. So I think that they really were listening to all of that feedback and thinking about their own needs, and the hybrid got scratched off. So
now let's talk about the Hummingbird and the Mini Drop together, all right? The teardrop style campers that are very hot right now. And this was fascinating to go into these different floor plans of the teardrops with them, because what they learned very quickly is that when you get one thing you want, you often lose something else. So we mentioned already that Gail really wants a nice bathroom. So we showed her some of the teardrops that have, and some of the teardrops have like full bathrooms, like really nice bathrooms. But then there's like very limited storage, and there's not a lot of floor space.
Right.
So she learned the give to get kind of thing really quickly.
Yeah. So we showed her the smaller trailers with the wet baths.
And then lots of room and storage. Yeah.
And a bigger kitchen oftentimes. And then we, you know, flipped that and showed the larger bathroom. And what we did, and this might be interesting if you're one of those new listeners if you're one of the new RV buyers out there that's looking this season, literally think every time you walk into these models, what does it have and what doesn't it? Because I think it took probably 4 or 5 trailers for John and Gil to go, oh, and they were doing it by the time we were, you know, away into our shopping. She'd be like, oh, it has the big refrigerator and the freezer, so it doesn't have as much storage or cabinet space. It takes a while to start realizing what each one has. So if you want a big kitchen, you're going to give something up if you want to stay small.
Particularly if you're looking, say, you know, 18 feet long and smaller, right? When you get one thing, you don't get another. If you want both, you need to be looking at 28 feet long travel trailers, which is not an option for them. Now, let me add too, as we were going into each RV, I was really trying to show them the weight, the dry weight of the RV, and tell them what kind of tow vehicle they would need. I really wanted them to get a sense of that. Like, for this one, you're going to need a truck that, or an SUV that tows 5,000 pounds. For this one, you're going to need an SUV that tows 3,500 pounds, because that's kind of usually how it works. It goes from like ones that tow like 3,500 pounds, which is usually something like, say,
a crossover SUV.
A crossover, like a Chevy Traverse or something like that. Don't quote me on that. Or something that tows 5,000 pounds, maybe more like the Ford Explorer. Explorer, yeah. Or Toyota 4Runner, which probably actually tows a little bit more, because they're also car shopping, right? So I was trying to give them a sense of, if you want this one, you need this truck. If you want this one, you need this truck. And that's overwhelming, but it's essential to think that way while you're shopping.
I think it was really helpful to them, because by the end of the day, I feel like they saw those categories and they were willing to make a reasonable choice about their tow vehicle. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
We'll circle back to that. So after the teardrops, we looked at some more traditional travel trailers like the J-Flight and the Ciro Scotty. And I think they were pretty impressed with the more 18-foot long, 16-foot long kind of travel trailer, more like the traditional box as opposed to the teardrop that just gives a little more space, a little more room. So they did really like some of those.
Absolutely. And we spent time all sitting in them. So that helped. You know, we didn't just like, oh, stick your head in and see what you like. We all got in it, right? And we imagined what life would be like. It's the two of them on a rainy day. One person wants to be on the laptop. One person wants to be reading a book. Is there a place for both of them to be sitting? You know, can you both be comfortable in this space realistically? Right? John and Gil love each other very much, I'm sure, but they also know their merit. I mean, they've been married a long time. They know what they need.
And they also started to see that some of those travel trailers require the 5,000-pound truck. Mm-hmm. Okay? But they definitely liked some of those. We showed them a whole variety of floor plans. So I don't know. You know, they thought a lot about the beds. Is there a fully walkable bed, or is the bed turned sideways up against a wall where you have to climb over each other? And they were concerned about that.
Let's save that, because we will list all of the things that they were their major takeaways from all that time that we spent in there. But another point of education that we were really showing them was the price point of these different trailers and why it was there. Okay, so we spent time in the trailer pointing out things like, is there a full bath or a wet bath? Some people don't understand that's a huge cost difference. I mean, a significant, I should say, cost difference, right? About whether there's a wet bath or a full bath. It really brings the price point up. And some people are like, well, why is this one $19,000 and this one $16,000? Well, one has full plumbing, right? And the other doesn't.
Well, what was nice for John and Gail, too, is that all of these units did fall within their budget. You know, that was their budget. Maybe that's not the same for you. I mean, maybe your budget really does. It's going to cross some things off the list. But their budget allowed them to look at all these different options.
Also, we were able to really point out finishes to them. Like, some people at RV shows, you know, you're seeing so much. You don't take the time to look at the cabinetry. Right? How are the cabinets put together? Are they glued together, right? Or are they full wood cabinets? Do you see those, like the latches, the soft close latches, the real screws? You know, how there's a difference in how these trailers are constructed. So take time to look at the construction inside, and take time to also look at all those hidden points of storage and things like that that they're offering on the inside. Also, appliances. It's easy to not even realize that some have an oven and some don't. Right? And if that matters,
if you're rushing, you know.
Yeah. Or a convection microwave and not an oven, which is, you know,
So to summarize, the pop-up got scratched off the list. The hybrid got scratched off the list, and we were really left with traditional travel trailers and teardrops. So why don't we move on to sort of the main lessons learned here?
Yeah. So they went home after the RV show, and I think that they were totally exhausted. Like, it is a lot. And we walked for hours and we looked at a lot of trailers and they were really focused. So I think by the end, it was like they were definitely on overload, like most people feel.
Well, people say RVs are the same. Well, on the outside, a lot of them look the same.
Not
on the inside, there's a lot of variety.
Yeah. So you can really start to feel like, okay, we need to go home and decompress. And they were actually super duper smart. They were staying with friends in their friend's motorhome in the driveway near Hershey, which was fun. On the way home the next day, they stopped at a dealership and looked at their used models on the lot to get that idea that we had been talking about.
So just think about pricing.
Yeah, just so smart, right? Getting that idea for pricing. So anyway, then we got the feedback email, including a spreadsheet, because that's how they roll. And I'm telling you, this is such a good example. And if you're shopping right now, I really encourage you to develop the kind of spreadsheet that John and Gail developed, because they made a spreadsheet with all of the ones that are still in the running. And it has the make, the series, the model, right? So say Jayco Hummingbird 17RB, Then it also has the list price, the length, the GVW, the weight. Then it has pros, cons, and comments or questions.
How many rigs ended up on their spreadsheet?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Can you run through them super fast?
Sure, I can. Absolutely. The Hummingbird 17 RB.
Rear bath.
The Jayco J-Feather 7 18 RBM. Okay. The Winnebago Drop. The Winnebago Micro Mini. And the Winnebago Micro Mini, two different Winnebago Micro Minis, okay? So, and I can put these models all in the show notes if anybody wants to see what they're looking at in this weight and price range. The Jayco J-Flight SLX and the Ciro Scotti, all right? So, really a variety of what we saw.
And they did settle, pretty much. I mean, they haven't made the purchase yet, but they want a tow vehicle with the 5,000-pound tow capacity as opposed to the crossover with the 3,500 pound. And I'd say to any of our listeners out there who are in roughly the same boat, you have so many more options if you have the SUV that tows 5,000 pounds. When you have the crossover or SUV that only tows 3,500 pounds, your options dramatically shrink. And it made me think of this for the first time. As you get a tow vehicle that tows more and more weight, you move into a smaller pool of options for the car, the truck, but you move into a much larger pool of options for the RV. As you move towards a lighter tow vehicle, you have more and more options for your tow vehicle, fewer and fewer options for the RV. Isn't that just the way life works?
It just, that's what happens. So you have to make your choices, right? And they know that they're going to be driving this car a lot without the RV attached to it. And they want a tow vehicle that fits their life's needs, right? So they're thinking in that Ford Explorer range, but no bigger than that. And I think that's a great decision
to make. Yeah, I don't see them in a pickup truck. Just like, that's not going to happen. And I don't see them in a Chevy Tahoe, right? And those vehicles become much more expensive, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? That SUV that tows 5,000 pounds is a different price point than the F-150 that tows 9,000 pounds, as I've discovered.
All right. So one of the things that ended up being a major question for them was, what kind of bed situation will be acceptable for them? Because they noticed, because they're so perceptive and we did so much shopping, that many of these smaller trailers do not have walk-around beds, okay? They don't have access to the bed on both sides. You have to, somebody has to climb over, right, onto the inside of the bed. And their question is that a deal breaker for us? They're not sure. They think it is. And they're like, oh, maybe we're not sure.
If they do make that decision, that could take the teardrops off the list.
Right. And so what they said was they're considering doing an at-home experiment where they only climb over each other for a week, which I thought that was
brilliant.
A great idea. Right?
Brilliant.
Like, do it. Move your bed, right, up against the wall. Not just pretending, but actually, I would actually move it up against the wall because one person is going to have to sleep against the wall, right?
And create a spreadsheet and a chart and write down how many times you go to the bathroom each night, okay?
Yeah. Who climbs over, who wakes up, who has to do it.
It literally matters, though.
Yeah.
It does matter. If you go to the bathroom a lot during the night, you might not want to do that.
Right. So they're thinking of maybe some of the other options, which there's a Murphy bed or a sofa, a Murphy bed kind of fold-up
bed. Yeah, the Murphy bed got them interested, yeah.
They did, and that's in the J-Feather 7, the 18 RBM. So they're like, okay, we might be able to do that, but the sideways bed they're definitely looking at. Another option that they're concerned about is a small Blackwater tank. But I think that that's just because they don't understand that most of the places that they'll be camping, they'll probably have hookups. And if they don't, 9 gallons is actually a pretty good size black tank. It's the gray water that you fill up
but
more
those
quickly.
Things can change. You can start camping and then all of a sudden be like, yeah. Oh, I want to be dry camping or I want to be
still,
at a state park.
I mean, I think that you can camp for a while and use the bathrooms and not fill up a 9 gallon Blackwater tank. Like, I don't think that that's small.
Right.
Especially if you're only using it at night or when it's raining or something like that, I think that that's fine for that. It wouldn't concern me. But so we are going to keep you updated on John and Gail's journey. So right now they're saying they're going to buy the tow vehicle. Now that they understand kind of where they're at with trailers and their list, they're going to go for that 5,000-pound tow capacity tow vehicle. So we will give you an update when they get that tow vehicle, and we'll say what they ended up with, and then we'll keep you posted throughout the course of this next year as they go through this journey.
And we're going to come back in a second with a great interview with John Fisher, who oversees the lightweight travel trailers for Jayco, a bunch of their different lines, including the Hummingbird. And he's just really going to break down this product for you and talk about how this product came to fruition, and it is just flying off the shelves right now. So we'll be back in a second with John Fisher from Jayco. I really enjoy talking to him at the Jayco campus out there in Middlebury, Indiana.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are really excited to be here with John Fisher, who is the product director for not only Hummingbird, but...
Whitehawk, J-Feather, and the J-Sport, which is the fold-downs for Jayco.
Okay, so talking lightweight products to some degree.
Yep.
Okay, now we have a Whitehawk, and we've had it for 5 years, and it works the way it did the day I bought it. So I'm going to thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's just, it's Jayco built, right?
Yeah,
so it's good quality there.
2012, and everything is just working fine. We're at the campground right now with it. So why don't you start by giving us a broad overview of the new Hummingbird product? Our listeners are very interested in it. We're doing a whole show here on smaller trailers. So just give us the kaleidoscopic view. What is this product? What is it all about?
Well, it's the teardrop trailer segment, so it's a very much an ultralight product. I got to Jayco about 2 years ago doing the lightweights and been in the industry 12 years altogether. And all of that time has been on lightweight product, either selling it or developing it. When I joined Jayco, Brad Whitehead, who's the vice president of sales and product development, had brought me in to do the Whitehawk and J-Feather, which I was absolutely ecstatic about because I had competed against them mm-hmm. for so many years. And now to get the chance to develop them and represent them, I was ecstatic. But he said, one addition to that is you're going to do the fold-downs, which I did not have a lot of experience in that camping trailer segment. So I told him, I said, I'll do my best to learn the segment and come out with some good product there. But... can you let me do a teardrop trailer? I said, I've always wanted to get into that segment. My prior brand, we didn't. We had talked about it, but never did. And he said, well, you know, at that time, we were targeting the launch of the 16 model year. And he said, maybe 17, possibly 18. We'll just see how things go. But he said, I think, you know, we'll do some research on that segment. It's an up-and-coming segment. And hopefully that's something we can do soon.
Why did you want to do that teardrop so badly? I mean, that sounds like before you even were hired here, that was your vision. So what was it about the teardrop that attracted you?
Well, in coming into Jayco, I thought, you know, that's one segment they hadn't tapped yet. And, you know, where J-Feather is our ultra-light product, and it's been around forever, and, it's one of the top-selling brands out there, there's limited floor plans that appeal to the 3,500-pound tow vehicle. And there is a ton of people that want to camp that have the small pickups, the small SUVs. They have the minivans, so that teardrop trailer, since it started coming out, it was probably around the mid to late. Well, it's been out a lot longer than that, but I mean, where it really started becoming
more modern.
Yeah,
ones,
and
right.
Prevalent. It's just something I felt like Jayco could really make a splash
and that
with.
You could put your stamp on Jayco right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you want to be excited when you show up for work in the morning.
Right.
Now, ultralights and lightweights, that's the hottest segment of the market right now, right? So that kind of makes you the man.
No, not really.
No, I mean, that's what's selling. That's what's flying off the lots, right?
And I was fortunate to do that. But, I mean, upon joining Jayco, I've never seen a more, from the standpoint of the retail customers, a following like you get with Jayco. And people love our two-year warranty and the quality and just the Bontrager family that's owned that business since 1968. There's just a true and blue following of the brand. So, it was easy walking in representing Feather and White Hawk, established brands and very good in each of their segments. But then to be able to do a new product for them, it's been, like I said, pretty awesome.
So let's zoom in on the Hummingbird, itself. So what does this thing look like? What does it feel like? And we'll link to the floor plans and we'll link to photos for all the listeners out there. But just give us a sense of this thing.
Well, you know, that teardrop shape is rounded and very aerodynamic. And then from our design standpoint on the exterior, we wanted what we felt like the product team. We wanted a retro modern type of feel. And then another part of that was we looked at a lot of old designs from Jayco, and there was a product back, I don't know exactly how long ago and how long it was out for them, but it was called the Wren.
Late 70s, I think.
I think yeah. It was. I know it goes way back there, but if you look at the front profile, now the Wren was a little bit more boxy, but if you look at our front profile where it curves around and then at the bottom where we have the diamond flate, it kind of veers in and then tapers off. Well, that design kind of came from the Wren, and the same thing with our back, where a lot of the traditional teardrops just come straight down. We brought it and then tapered it back in, which allowed us to do a pretty cool feature that I'll explain later. But overall, that was kind of the design. And then, you know, we call it a Clover Mist Gray exterior fiberglass laminated walls. It's got the bottom part of it, some white striping, but we went very linear on the graphics.
Cleaner design. Lines, right?
Cleaner lines, and okay. You know, you see so many where it used to be linear back in the day, and then it kind of got to the Nike type swooshes that you see all over the place, and so we decided to go more linear with it. And then even our Hummingbird logo, when we did that, we put some chrome effect around it, mm-hmm. but we've gotten really, really good reviews from the dealers and the retail people. And a lot of people says kind of reminds them of a 50s diner.
Yeah, it's cute as a button. We just saw them outside. It is absolutely adorable. I think you nailed the exterior look. Do you think that linear look will maybe carry over and inspire other lines at Jayco? I mean, it seems like a hot look right now.
I think people are reviewing it, but as times progress, I think you'll start to see maybe some more linear type things. But yeah, it definitely, like I said, that linear appeal to the dealers and retail has been awesome.
And you're seeing that on the pop-up, on the pull-downs now, mm-hmm. too, right? With that sort of a retro look on
Jayco's. Yeah, we actually tried to, you know, with the inception of the company back in 68 and Lloyd's Dream with the camping trailers, we ended up with the J-Sport going into this year. That actual graphic was a prevalent, like, 80s to 90s, and it changed colors, but and even logo a little bit, but for the most part, it had that feel. So we wanted to brighten it up a little bit with more of the Jayco blues, but that's what that came from.
Great. Let's zone in on some actual floor plans here, like, so our listeners can actually think, you know, what are my options if I want a Hummingbird? So first, let's talk about the 16FD and the 17FD, because I'm kind of looking at them as brother and sister to some degree.
Absolutely.
So tell me about those two floor plans, you know, roughly what they weigh and who might be interested in those.
Yeah, the overall scope back when we started this thing about 9 months ago was to make sure our UVWs were, you know, under that 2,900 pound mark, which we achieved. So the first three floor plans that we came out with, the RB, the RK, and the FD, all have the galley slide and then the different variations. Now the FD, so we've got a big U dinette up front and then the bed in the back with the wet bath. That's hitting in that 2,700-2,800 pound mark.
So towable by an SUV, certainly a Ford Explorer, those types of vehicles.
Absolutely.
Possibly even a minivan with a V6.
Hitting the minivans, and that again, you know, we couldn't stress that point enough, is where our J Feather brand had, you know, minimal floor plans that could appeal to that 3,500 pound tow class. This entire fleet will appeal.
Right. But yet it's got good space inside too.
Yeah.
You know, it really does feel like a spacious, you know, product inside.
Yep. Very surprised. And, you know, at the amount of space, and we really try to maximize storage, you know, any kind of nook or cranny, whether it's exterior or interior, try to create as much storage, because that's obviously always lacking in a lighter weight trailer. And then cargo nets.
We saw those in the back of the kitchen.
Yeah, as practical as they can be. I mean, again, it's just an area where you can store stuff.
Right. Now, one of those has a slide, right? The 16 or the 17?
Yeah, the 17 has the slide, and then, you know, the first three plans out, so dealers were kind of coming back to us, hey, you know, it'd be nice to even get a lighter, more aggressive, right. UVW, and obviously even a, you know, price point without that slide, you know, right. Even a more, you know, cost economical option. So we came out with that, and it's pretty much the little brother to the 17 FD.
So this is kind of developing into a full line fairly quickly here, right?
Yeah, it started out where with you know, that once the development was done and that first proto rolled, we were going to get these first three floor plans out. Maybe take a breath and then go from there. But the dealer response was so amazing. And so then.
And I can verify that. We've actually heard from dealer friends. They're moving off the lots very quickly.
Yeah. We've heard story now. And, you know, and this is just, we triple haul them all over the U.S. and Canada, which is awesome, you know, to get them out west and up into our friends up in Canada. But yeah, they're actually selling as quick
Great.
As they're landing.
Let's move to the two other floor plans. So there's the 17RB, which is rear bath, right?
Yep.
I hope. And the 17RK, rear kitchen.
Right.
So I loved looking at the floor plans for these two because it really lets you zone in and kind of get what you want. I mean, do you want a big kitchen or do you want a big bathroom, right? So could you just tell us a little bit about those two options?
Yep, and that was exactly it. I mean, you got that consumer that wants more of the kitchen, but and now where you might lack a little bit is you've got the wet bath. But again, even we've had different size folks from Jayco sit in our wet bath, and you know it is relatively roomy. And
I'm a big guy, and I've never had the big problem with the wet bath.
Right,
I think it's the ladies sometimes that
exactly
have more of a problem.
So that's why that's nice to have that rear bath option. Or you know, and again, they might want, you know, the kitchen, but
and that rear kitchen, I mean, that's the size of a kitchen in a much larger travel trailer. So if you are cooking and you're concerned with a kitchen, that's a big kitchen for a small unit.
Yeah, good storage in that model, and absolutely good countertop space. Again,
which great. Is- now they're adorable. We have seen them. I love the look of them. Who are you guys targeting here? Or who do you think your consumer, or who did you think your consumer was going to be? And are you learning a little bit more about that? Is it different than you thought?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when teardrops started becoming more and more prevalent again and really growing, we kind of laughed a little bit. We felt it was more of a niche type market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the demographics seem to be younger folks, maybe targeting millennials, you know, obviously first time campers. But as I've gotten out there more and more, it's a diverse crowd that is into this product. I mean, we see couples, we see families, because you can utilize, obviously not big families, but you can sleep
two
four
kids, maybe, yeah,
comfortably in them.
Dinette. We were at a dealer up the road and we saw a couple purchasing one. It looked like they were kind of getting the walk through, and they were probably a retired couple purchasing this.
Yeah.
And I thought probably perfect for them.
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is that demographic as well. We're seeing seniors that are coming out of, you know, basically retiring, and even Class A motorhome folks that are just want to scale down and go back to the simple, you know, the simple right. camping and towing those little things around. So it's
You mentioned the price point being attractive. So just what's a loose range on the MSRP on the different floor plans?
Yeah, we've been seeing them listed on dealers' lots from $15,900 on up.
So very affordable.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a first-time purchase. That's interesting, too, thinking of the person in the motorhome who maybe wants to downsize into something a little bit smaller.
Yep.
To get out there into our national parks or whatever it may be.
Right. So. But average MSRPs we're seeing in the, you know, around the 20s and different ranges around there.
Great. All right. So tell us a little bit about some of the interior amenities. Like, what are some of the things you can get in a Hummingbird?
Well, the first thing, I mean, you know, they're in small models, you'll always see a lot of competition, whether it's teardrop or not. You know, traditional ultralights, they'll use bunk mats as their main bed. Well, we have an exclusive deal with Simmons, and we're putting Simmons mattresses.
Okay.
And so that's went over really well with the consumer. We've got
is that like a thicker, what makes that better?
Yeah, it's a 6-inch, you know, residential type mattress right. instead of a, you know, a 4-3-4 inch bunk mat that they put in.
Right.
So that went over well. And it has a very, very nice comforter set with pillows. I mean, it's not a cheaper imported type,
right.
you know, comforter. You've got a really nice residential type comforter and pillows to dress it up. We put in each of the models, and it can be in a different location, but a 2x4 folding picnic table, which is a nice feature, and we strap it into a different slotted area, and you can take it outside and set it up and put food on it while you're out under the awning and things like that.
So, great, and then it's sort of like invisible to some degree when it's inside the unit.
Yep, it's kind of tucked away, you know, and then we have our convection microwave within the Hummingbird is a standard item where it's optional in some of the competition.
So you're always going to get the convection oven. That's what you're getting in a Hummingbird.
Yep.
Okay, great. That's what my wife wants.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Seems like that's what people want now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you've got the sink and the two burner cooktop. And as I said, and another important thing to us as we were designing was to try to look at ways we could create more storage. And, you know, we've got a, within our galley slide, models that have a pull-out drawer. And, you know, it's just, that's always an important thing, like I said, in lightweight product.
Great. How about Baja? You want to tell us what the Baja package is all about?
Well, yeah, we have that, like our J-Flight is the number one selling, you know, travel trailer in the world the last 11 years. And on their SLX models out west, it's more prevalent out west because you get a lot of off-roaders. They're doing more of the dry camping type things and going off road. So, you know, that Baja package was put on SLX. We now have it on our J Feather. It's on our fold downs. And we were like, well, why not have it on the Hummingbird? And it's basically, we just put 15 inch mudder tires. It's got a higher clearance, and then we've got a double entry step, beef up the axles.
I like that because it's such a cute product, but then you can get this sort of rugged version. So if you wanted to kind of go out there and boondock or dry camp or get out into a national park that's maybe a little bit harder to get into, you could equip it that way.
Yeah, and most of the – and we were surprised because we knew it would be prevalent out west, but I go out there, and we've been running Hummingbirds for about 2.5 months straight now, and – you go out there and there's a ton of runs of Baja. I mean, we're probably hitting about a 30-35% run rate with that Baja edition.
Wow, I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, that's awesome. What I was too. Right. I didn't expect it
I would
to be
think that would be very niche.
But setting up a little bit higher and with those tires, even if you're not going to take it off road, it just gives it a cooler, sportier effect.
Right. So they're flying off the lots. They're selling well. What did you do right here? What is it about this product that's really pulling people in? Is it the retro aspect to it? Just that classic teardrop thing? Is it getting all those things with the Jayco?
Well, I think the first and foremost is that it's a Jayco brand. You know, it's backed by the 2-year warranty and that following those, there's so many people that I've talked to that'll never own anything but a Jayco. Right. And then the second part of it is just the segment because we're appealing to such a wide range of tow vehicles.
Right. Right.
So we've got a lot bigger, you know,
more potential customers out there,
more potential customers. But I just got to take my hat off to the product and design team that there were so many people that had input into this. And we wanted something that had some pop, you know, on that exterior. And we worked hard and looked at a lot of different things. And
it doesn't look like anything else. You know, right. I mean, I think it has a very unique look to it. So you guys nailed that. Definitely.
Yeah. Like I said, we couldn't have been happier. You know, you got a lot of things on paper and design. You look at a lot of renderings and things like that. But when that first one rolled offline, we were like, and the chrome that we put, that was a little bit of an after effect. We did that after.
On the logo?
Yeah, around the logo and stuff. But everything else, when it popped offline, we were like, wow, you know, we've got something here. We just got to keep building on it.
Excellent. So this is a competitive market segment. There are other teardrops out there. Why buy the Jayco Hummingbird over another option you might be looking at?
Well, I think I hit that a couple minutes ago. It is a Jayco built. So that quality is top notch. Absolutely. And you know, again, backed by the 2-year warranty. the floor plan offering. I think we started out with the three and then developed into the five very quickly, just because
we didn't talk about the fifth. I don't want to forget that. So what is that fifth floor plan?
Yeah, so we're coming out with a 17DH, and it'll probably be out where that 16FD is new. Mm-hmm. It's being prototyped and will be production ready about mid to late September, and then about a month later we'll follow with the new 17BH. So it's a front bunkhouse. Rear dinette. The dinette obviously will collapse into a big bed. The two bunks up front. The bottom will be hinged so you can fold it up. And then on the off door side, we'll have a pack and play door so you can transport.
That's terrific. So you're really thinking of a family option in the lineup here.
Very cool. And the dealers are, we didn't have anything to really show them yet at our open house that just ended, but they were pretty excited at the fact that we're coming out.
You know, we're sensing this from our podcast listeners, that there are a lot of families out there with one or two kids maybe that just want a smaller product. I mean, absolutely. They don't want to be in a 30-foot travel trailer for whatever the reasons, whether it's the tow vehicle or whatever they're thinking. So I'm thinking that could be a hit for you guys, definitely, for a young family, and then they move up to something else after the fact.
Yeah.
So you also mentioned at the beginning a feature that you were able to do.
There's three distinct things, and this is going back a couple months ago when we started to debut it, that three distinct things that really set us apart. And the first and foremost is the awning.
Okay.
We have a powered awning with a multicolored LED light, and it's attached with a remote, so you can go solid colors, all the different colors you can think of. You can strobe it, you can flash it. So the consumers have really liked that. Competition has offered it's a bagged screen room that it's basically an enclosed area. When you're outside, you want to be under that awning and enjoying the campsite. And from what we understand, it takes a while to set up and it's cumbersome to.
We had one of those on our pop-up camper. We never used it.
Yeah,
we bought it and never used it.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard, is that a lot of people will set it up about one time and then not. But and some of the competition, like I told our product team, we got to stay on this because the competition's definitely going to step up. And we did see some awnings on one of the brands out there, not too long ago. But that has been a distinct feature that we're really the retail customer and the dealers loving. And then because of our rear profile, where I said we tapered it in, we put a 4-inch bumper on our Hummingbird, which allowed us to put a spare tire and a bumper mount grill back there and offer those as options, where the competition doesn't have the bumper. They just have a receiver as a part of their frame, and they can put a spare tire in it. Some put a bike rack. But with having those two accessories available on the back end of the bumper, we had a two bike rack carrier developed for the A-frame that we offer as an option. And that has gone over real well. The consumers love it because they can see the two bikes in the rearview mirror.
I loved seeing that. And mm-hmm. I love seeing that direction, because so many people getting into RVing are looking at it as a way to get into the great outdoors, to get exercise. Even, our retirees and seniors, they're bringing their bikes with them.
They're
being very, very active. So from the millennial customer to the retired customer, I think that type of built-in rack option is really, really nice.
Yep.
Great. So what's next for John Fisher? What are you working on right now?
We're actually, our model year 17 came, May 1st is when we started rolling out the new product. And the product team has been ultra aggressive in getting us way ahead of that scope. So with the launch, we kind of were coming out with these two other floor plans in Hummingbird. The new J Sport has taken off well. The 17 editions of White Hawk and Feather out of the gates are doing great, but I would say the major focus right now is White Hawk and Feather, because usually you have about a 2-year run, and so we'll let Hummingbird and J Sport, they got the most of the work going into 17, and now we'll kind of cycle into some new.
They're like your children. If you feel like you haven't given one quite enough attention recently, then it's time to take one of them
out
for ice cream or something.
Exactly. So. Well, and there's one other thing, too.
Sure.
I had told you the third thing was that we offer a covered underbelly or an enclosed underbelly, and we put a layer of astrofoil insulation as a part of that, and the competition does not offer that. I mean, so especially the off-roaders. like to have that underbelly enclosed and
so get that. Three season, three and a half season.
Yeah, depending on a lot of people ask that. I always hate to answer that. Depending on the region,
personal preference too.
But it does. I mean that Astrofoil give it a an R value of R15.
Great.
Just by itself, up under that underbelly. So it will help insulate it, and obviously with the enclosed underbelly helps protect, especially those off-roaders, like that extra protection.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for your time, and we definitely hope to have you back on again. Maybe next time we'll talk about White Hawk or another line. You're a busy guy in charge of a lot of different things here.
That would be great, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yep,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, and a big thank you to John Fisher for giving us his time. It's always so enjoyable talking to these product managers out at Jayco. They're always so interesting. And also a huge thank you to Campers Inn and Penguin Random House for sponsoring this podcast, and to our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, adding an RV policy quote to another Progressive policy, like a home, auto, motorcycle, or a boat, is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And I also want to say thank you to John and Gail for letting us sort of share their journey on the show, because I think it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. And, if you have any questions for them, you can send them our way and we'll try to answer
them. What do you think they're going to buy, Stephanie? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, I don't want to say that because I know they're going to listen to this episode.
Okay, so we don't want to try to sway them.
No, I don't. I want them to wind up with the perfect RV for them that they decide on. I'm big into
not.
But
there is no perfect RV.
For them, there is. Okay. Yes. There is a perfect RV for them.
We found our perfect RV, didn't we?
We did, and they'll find it too.
All right, everybody. Donate to Tents for Troops, and we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground. Bye.